Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why did you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. And you can subscribe to this podcast on any and all podcasting apps. The easiest thing to do, just go straight to thatmovieshow.net. We got all our reviews up there. Eddie, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Fan Debadosi Tastic. Have you watched Sexy Beast yet?
No, I still
haven't. Son of a bitch.
It's over on my desk.
I gave you that months ago.
I know, and I still haven't watched it. I really need to. I should probably watch that.
Well, this is technically the first episode of year three for us. We are starting our third. We just wrapped up our second year. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. That's absolutely fantastic.
That is wild. And we are doing, usually we leave this up to the listeners or the viewers. And last year we let them pick something. But after having to sit through 6 hours of the Shining miniseries, I'm like, you know what? This one's for us.
This one is for us.
We're doing Orgasmo.
Oh, God, I love this movie.
I couldn't be happier. Orgasmo was released on September 6, 1997. It had a budget of about $1 million, brought back $602,000 at the box office. It was obviously a limited release. Yeah. It was written and directed by Trey Parker. It starred Trey Parker, Matt Stone, Dean Bahar, Robin Lynn, Michael Dean Jacobs, Ron Jeremy, and a cameo from Uncle Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh, yeah. Anybody and everybody.
Just movie stars and their friends.
Yeah. Yes. This movie is awesome. This is following their first movie. So this is technically their second movie.
Yep.
Their first one was Cannibal the Musical. Mm-hmm. And then this one followed it up. And then ultimately, this was followed up by Basketball. So.
Yeah. I mean, was it?
I believe so.
I think they might have done Basketball. I mean, because they didn't do Basketball.
That's true.
That was the Zucker Brothers that did that. While doing it, it was actually on the DVD. There was the Orgasmo DVD. Yeah. It was a Dragon Con interview, basically. Right. That they included it because it went so horribly wrong because of all the technical problems.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trey Parker just kept hitting on this woman over the phone. Because he couldn't really hear anybody else. But he explained, it was one of those things. He's like, because people, I think we, the viewers, like that movie a lot more than Matt and Trey like that movie.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, we did Basketball. It's in the archives, thatmovieshow.net.
Yeah, right.
But basically, he's like, yeah, we don't really claim ownership to that movie. We don't really like it. We did it because when one of your idols, being the Zucker Brothers, who did Airplane, Naked Gun, they're like, when they call you and say, hey, we want you to do this movie, you're not going to say no.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm trying to see. Let me see. I've got his IMDb open. Let me see. Trey Parker. But more importantly, right around this time, 1997, was when they did a little TV show called South Park.
Yes, that's the big one.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this movie. We'll get to one of my favorite characters. And
Basketball came out the year later. You were right.
Yeah. And so it'll be we'll get to the character that I absolutely love. But it inspired a cuisine that I enjoy eating. So
interesting.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Now sitting here in 2019, yep. I would love to think that this movie takes place simultaneously to the events of Book of Mormon.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Like I would like to think that Elder Young and Elder Price were in missionary school together. mm-hmm. and then proceeded to go on their separate ways, where Elder Young ends up in Hollywood, and this happens, and Elder Price ends up in Africa, where the events of
Book of Mormon.
Of Book of Mormon take place. That's just personally me.
That's just your dream world.
That's my dream world. It would be super fun. I absolutely love this movie. Let's jump right in.
Yeah. So we open up on Joe Young. He's a young Mormon doing his missionary thing in Hollywood. The first shot is a wide pullback of the Hollywood sign, and then it subtitles it Hollywood, California.
Yes.
I'm like, God damn it. Right off, that's the type of like the little shit throughout this movie that the little fuck yous to people, like mostly the system and the studio system and stuff like that. And the movie, it's funny because they make these movies.
Right.
But they're making these movies as a giant fuck you to people that make movies.
Yes, of course.
You know, the way they make movies, it's almost like they don't like making movies. They just want to make it to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, right. Of course. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. But yeah, we find Elder Young going door to door. They talk to an old lady, which is so funny.
Just cusses them right out.
And she just tells them to fuck right off.
Calls them big fuckers.
Yeah, big fuckers. God, so funny. But they end up.
Yeah, there's like three or four different door knocks. And it's increasingly getting like, you know, more. They're slamming the door quicker. Like the first guy's just sitting there. He's eating a sandwich. He's not really listening. He's watching the game over his shoulder. And he's like, all right, cool. Go fuck yourself. And closes the door.
Yeah, right.
But he listened to them. Next woman, I think it was like a pregnant woman who was smoking or something like that. Something like that. And she listened for about 2 seconds, closed the door. Then we get to the old lady.
Right.
She lets them get out that they're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she goes, well, you pig fuckers can go fuck right off.
Yeah, right.
And runs them down.
Absolutely fun. Absolutely hilarious. They end up at the set of a Max Orbison porn that is already in progress.
Yep. Max Orbison.
It's so funny because just watching that porn play out is so goddamn funny. Just like, I am Orgasmo.
The funniest part about this is the movie is, and this, Trey Parker covered this a lot in the supplementals on the DVD. Orgasmo's rated NC-17.
Right.
And it's so tame. Like, he was deliberately doing things. He's like, but there's no nudity. You know, it's like we deliberately were blocking. Even Ron Jeremy, who's in the movie, when he first was seeing them film it on set, he's like, well, don't you want to see the girl's tits? And he's like, no, that's the joke. You just don't get it wrong. It's like every movie would show her tits. We show a guy's hairy ass stepping in the frame.
Yeah, right.
Hey, how you doing?
It's so funny. I love that the guy, he they're going through the scene and he blocks it. And they're making fun of actors because, like, he blocks a punch. He's like, ow, my finger. Like,
jammed his finger.
He wasn't supposed to block. He wasn't supposed to block. And it's just, it's so funny because it's kind of like Boogie Nights a little bit.
Very much.
Know what I mean? Where it's just like Max Orbison is clearly this sleazy old school porn guy. Yep. And he's not really getting in with the new crowd of porn people, kind of.
Sure.
And so, yeah, basically they're trying to refilm the scene, and that's when the Mormons show up.
And so they ring the doorbell. Big security guy who I don't know. I think he looks like Big John Studd for you wrestling fans. That's what I see when he opens the door. That or like a ogre from Revenge of the Nerds with a beard.
That's a good one too.
He had one in what was a karate movie he did? Ogre was in a karate movie.
Yeah, it was Bloodsport.
Okay, that was it. He had a beard in that one as well. So kind of like that guy. So he opens the door and they're like, hi, I'm Elder Young, and this is Elder, I forget the other guy's name. We're from the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. And he's like, okay, hang on a second. Goes back in, he's like, boss, it's some Jesus guys? Cut off their balls!
Yeah,
and he goes back and opens up the littlest switchblade knife, and he's like, I gotta cut your balls off now. Like, look, we understand if you're not ready. We can walk away.
Yeah. So, and then again, it's the little things that it really tickles my sensibilities, because what the Mormon who we never see ever again just takes off.
Yeah, he hightails it.
He hightails it out. And then it turns into like a mini kung fu movie for a hot second.
Right up.
Oh, straight up into like Elder Young just goes, and proceeds to like just kick a bunch of ass.
Yeah, like, because they had just spent the whole scene with Orgasmo in there and Max Orbison calling him a pussy and being like, you said you could fight and blah, 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 blah. And then they're all coming out and they're watching this, you know, Mormon kick the shit out of all the security guards. And he goes, now that's how you kick somebody's ass.
Yeah, right. So it's so funny that he then basically just hires this guy and
offers him a job.
And it's really funny because I love how they just basically, his motivation is I want to make a bunch of money so that I can marry my fiance at the church in Salt Lake City. Yep. And so it's just like, look, here's the deal. You'll just be an actor. You won't have to have sex with anybody. We'll use a stunt cock.
Yep.
It's
an action adventure superhero porno.
Yeah. And it's really funny because it's just, this guy is such a fish out of water. It's so awkward. It's so funny. I absolutely love it.
It works so well though.
Yeah. And you know, it kind of just shows you how good of an actor Trey Parker is, mm-hmm. because he plays it so, so well.
Absolutely. Especially when he wants to be.
Right.
He's one of those guys. It's like when he's motivated, he can do a really good job.
Yeah, because it's absolutely funny. You know, he wants to do it. It's really, I want to say before he actually accepts, he goes and he prays to Jesus and he's just like, give me a sign, Lord, yep. if I shouldn't do this at all. And then an earthquake happens, yep. and then it stops and he's just like, any sign at all.
Any sign will do.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's really funny because again, it just kind of, you know, it just kind of goes into like human motivation and stuff like that. That money was too good to pass up.
So I believe the first offer, he's going to get $10,000 for the first Orgasmo movie.
Yeah.
And he calls his fiance who's back in Utah and tells her, and she loses her ever-loving ship because they need, I think they need like, I don't know, 50 grand or something to get married in the temple, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. It's a lot. And
whatever it is, it's more, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely more than 10 grand. But the 10 grand is more than he has, so it's a good start. He's looking at it like, you know, Heavenly Father has put this 10,000 in front of us, so we must take it.
Yeah, right.
But he tells her he's doing Death of a Salesman.
Yes.
The movie.
Yeah, the movie.
And she gets very excited and blah, 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 blah. So day one on set as Orgasmo, and he's just, like you said, he's an innocent that's thrown right into the world of porno.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really funny because we meet Chota Boy on the first day. Yep. And it's really funny because he's definitely not the person that Joe Young thinks he, you know, people in porn are, because he has like 3 degrees from MIT or something.
That's
something.
Another funny line where he goes, oh, you mean in Boston? He goes, well, no, it's Cambridge, actually.
Yeah.
Local reference for us.
Yeah, you dick.
But yeah, and I like the fact that they kind of flip it on what you would expect. Like, we're all coming into this with the similar mentality that Joe has, where these porn people are all just disgusting, you know, ninfos and sex mongers and all this stuff. And he's like, no, dude, we're just like regular people, man. You know,
You know? He's like, look, I graduated from MIT. I have a bunch of degrees and stuff. And yeah, no, I like this. I have
I'm not lucky with the ladies. So Chota Boy.
Yeah. So here it is, man. You know, it's really funny. I mean, the funny part is about him being like so Orgasmo is basically Batman, right? It's basically a Batman parody. And it's funny because Chota Boy, the character Ben, he designed all of the he designed all the toys and like all of the different gadgets and stuff, and they all really work, which is part of the humor of it, is that there's just so many different things. We get a bunch of we get some more scenes where they're shooting porn. Iconic, like probably the one that sticks out the most to me is when a woman pins down Joe and he's just laying on the bed not doing anything.
Is that the T-Rex one?
Yeah, I want to say it's
that,
T-Rex.
That comes a bit later with the large woman.
Yeah, it's not that one. It's the one where she's on top of him and he's like, Joe, act like you're enjoying this. And
yes, sir.
He just rotates his arms in circles and grab her boob, and he just puts his hand on it.
There was a couple of characters in this that I absolutely adore. Georgie's one of them. She's the one, just the ditzy blonde who keeps getting bigger and bigger fake tits. She's played by Toddy Walters, who was also in Cannibal the Musical. She was the lead female in Cannibal. And her little scene in there was wonderful, where she keeps forgetting her line. And the line is very simple. It's, you guys got me so horny. And she's like, you guys got line. And just as deadpan as anything, Max Organ goes, you guys got me so horny. Oh, yeah. And that's where grab her tit. And he's like, how would Christ benefit from that? He goes, don't worry, dude. They're not real. Bonk.
Right.
How would Christ benefit from me sticking my tongue in this girl's mouth?
Yeah, it's absolutely it's so funny. And so then later, Ben invites Joe to hang out. And we find out that Ben has...
We also get the first appearance of Dave, the lighting guy.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I forgot about that. Dave, the lighting guy, played...
Ass-fuck twins!
played by Matt Stone. It's so goddamn funny. He is so goddamn funny the entire time.
I watched it probably for the 40th time 2 days ago, and I'm still fucking laughing about it. He is awesome.
He's this is why it works so much, because he's the only guy that fits the stereotype of what you think a porn guy would be.
Just sitting there like, whoa. Check that out, man. That's some hot shit right there.
Yeah, I think
everyone
that that's
else is walking around eating Happy Tarts.
Yeah, but I think that that's why that character works so well, is because he is such a joke amongst all of the normal people that you've seen. So Matt Stone plays him perfectly. It's so goddamn funny.
It's so funny. Dave is a gem.
Yeah. I don't sound like queer nothing, but I think unicorns are hot.
You ever seen that movie, Clash of the Titans? Oh, yeah, with the Greek mythology? Yeah, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but unicorns are kick ass. And just the weird facial shit that he's doing. Yes. You did a good job out there, man. And I'd like to make love to you tonight.
Yeah.
What?
What? It's absolutely very funny. But yeah, so Ben and Joe end up going out, and we find out that Ben has made the gun that is in the porn. Like, he actually made that, the gun that basically you shoot people and it gives them orgasms. That's
the orgasmerator.
That's exactly what it does. So they go and have a good time just shooting people. And it's so funny watching them do that. The cop is probably the funniest while he's frisking somebody.
Frisking guy starts spanking his ass and giving him a kiss on the face.
Oh God, it's so funny. There's a woman. She's an elderly woman with a walker,
which actually was Matt Stone under that wig.
Oh, of course it was.
But before they even go out, when they're in the basement, he's trying it on. He's seeing he can actually hold it. He can lift it because the way Ben describes it, he it's so heavy because of all the shit that's put into it.
Right.
And he's like, wow, you can wear that. That looks awesome, man. Go ahead, shoot yourself in the foot. Give yourself a thrill. And Trey Parker's cum face when he shoots himself in the foot, where he just goes, wah!
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Like, little shit like that, or when they're pulling up to the house and you hear you hear Chota Boy doing the narration of, you know, yeah, I did this and I did this and I got this patent and that patent. And then they just cut to inside the car and Trey Parker looks at it and goes, did you say something? He goes, nah, I was just thinking.
Right. Do we also
like all the exposition for the next scene?
Do we also get the hint of the like deep dark secret Ben has about his kung fu style? Like, do
They're walking around the house because when they're walking around his house,
he like sees a shrine.
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of showing him all the different patents he's made over the years and stuff, and you know this and that, and he's got a shrine to, you know, a few different kung fu styles, and he goes and he. Joe Young looks and he sees this little shrine to a hamster and he's like, what's this? He goes, ah, I don't do hamster style anymore. I made a vow to my father. I will never do hamster style.
And then it's him in a backwards hat.
Yep. With an oversized bowl of cereal as a kid.
Yeah. Dad, I don't want to do hamster style anymore. Okay,
cool. Dad doesn't even break stride reading his papers. Like,
all right, that's nice. It's just so funny. I don't want to talk about it.
We also had they went out to dinner with a couple of the girls to G Fresh's sushi and karaoke bar.
I after seeing this movie for the first time,
yeah,
I visited so many sushi restaurants
hoping to find a rapping owner with a karaoke machine.
Yep, I went to so many places. That was my like jam. Didn't really find anything that I'd liked. I wouldn't actually enjoy sushi until years later.
Sure. But this was what started you.
This is what started me in trying it. G Fresh is absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. He is a Japanese sushi chef who is a wannabe gangster rapper.
Yep.
He owns a sushi house next to a nightclub. And the nightclub wants to buy him out so they can expand their club, and he won't sell. And so in the most awesome form of intimidation, the thugs from next door, just one by one, are breaking his toothpicks.
Oh my God. Yeah. Again, just like the little shit in this that is so goddamn funny because it's, They spent almost $1 million to say fuck you to the movie.
Of course, because in this scene alone, there's a gentleman who is singing karaoke. And I don't know if you picked up on this, but the song he's singing is literal nonsense words just strung together. It's like puppies and kittens and bananas and puppies and gems. Like,
and there's on the DVD, there's an extended version where he goes on for a solid like 2.5-3 minutes.
Oh, it's amazing.
And it's one of those things you hear Trey Parker off camera call cut, and just the whole room bursts out laughing.
Oh, because so funny.
It's nonsense. It's like you said, puppies and kittens and Patrick Duffy. It's
yeah, right.
That nonsense. It's like it's. All of the inside jokes from the first season of South Park, basically.
Yes. It's absolutely fantastic. It's so funny. And so they basically, you know, they keep filming the porn, but they find out that G Fresh was beat up and forced to sign over
this was straight. The G Fresh getting his ass kicked was textbook straight out of the trauma school of making movies. They're just throwing a wooden dummy around the thing.
Yes, that's all they're doing. They're just destroying a wooden dummy. But it's also so funny because then after all of that, he just has a little cut under his eye.
Like, they even reference it. Ben walks in, he goes, G-Fresh, how'd you get that scratch, man?
Yeah, right.
Arms like in a sling and shit.
There's nothing sadder than a sad Japanese man singing karaoke. It's so funny. But so they end up basically deciding to don their porn superhero gimmicks.
Well, all the while, the first Orgasmo movie's making money.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it's making a shitload of money, and Orbison isn't giving Joe his money, and he needs his money so he can go back to Utah, and he won't give him the money. Finally, he's like, all right, well, we're making a sequel.
Right. So I got to get
it. Joe's like, no, I can't make a fucking sequel. He's winning awards, which was basically a funny version of the Boogie Nights awards ceremony where he's like winning all the fucking awards and he's getting all the press. And, you know, it really there are parallels to that, which is weird because they came out like what, the same year, right? They were both 97.
Like yeah.
Yeah. So we get the big Orgasmo success party.
Right, because that was the whole guise of, like, getting Joe Young to do this movie was, hey, we're going to, you know, nobody's going to see this.
Right.
No, these things get made 100 a day. You know, no one's going to see it. And it is the Avengers Endgame of porn.
Really is. It's sitting there. It's on the list, passing E.T. on the way to Star Wars. It was, yeah, it's making all the money.
And,
So we're at the party. We got the fat naked mariachis. They kind of sound like Depeche Mode.
that's right.
And he's told that he's now got to do a sequel.
Right.
Doesn't want to do a sequel. But Orbison's basically like, look, you're going to do it. We get one of the many times. You're going to do this or you'll be sleeping with the fishes, see?
Yeah.
Yep. And offers him, I think, $40,000 for the sequel.
Yeah, and so, yeah, he ends up having her, she ends up agreeing, or he ends up agreeing, because it is enough money to pay for everything.
Right.
And so he wants to do that for his fiance,
yep.
Who in turn, like, is so confused when he says that they're making a Death of a Salesman 2,
yep.
Because, didn't he die at the end?
Yep. No, He was killed. It was a setup by the CIA. They set him up for selling smack. Was his explanation?
Yeah, it was great.
So he was killed. His twin brother wants revenge, and she goes, "Wasn't it a suicide?" No, he was killed by the CIA for selling smack.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know all the intricate details of that movie.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. So it basically. He ends up having to do the sequel, and basically Max Orbison is not happy with the fact that he still doesn't want to actually have sex, and basically he's fed up with him. Like, he put up with him the first time because he just needed to get his movie done, but now it's I'm Max Orbison, and you're gonna do it.
And we bring in the new villain because the villain in the first one was played by Ron Jeremy. It was Jizzmaster Zero.
Yes.
Fantastic name, first of all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the new villain, the sequel villain, is A Cup. He plays Neuter Man, played by actor David Dunn. A Cup, one of my favorite people ever. He's just an outright prick and farts on everybody.
My favorite thing is the farting in the hand and then tossing it in people's faces. It was so, and everybody is so, the reaction is the same for every actor. It's, they're confused and then they smell it and it's
there's like and it's funny because you find out a little bit later that he's actually Max Orbison's nephew, because you hear him call him Uncle Orbison later in the movie when they kidnap the girlfriend. But you can tell that this guy is just hell to work with, because he's sitting there doing his stretches and stuff because he's like a real kung fu guy. And all the crew is walking past him and all the actors are walking past him. And it's one of those things, like, everyone has to say hi to him. Like, you see people rolling their eyes behind his back, but they're like, hey, A-Cup. And he's just a jerk. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Good morning, A-Cup. Blow me. And then the one guy that walks by and doesn't say anything, he's like, hey, get the fuck over here. And puts his head down by his ass and goes, now you can get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's absolutely bananas. Basically, Lisa now comes to surprise Joe.
Yep.
Which makes everything super tough. Because now he's like trying to hide everything and it's definitely not working. He wants to quit the movie, and Roy Orbison, because we find out he's also,
I was waiting for you to make that mistake.
I did it. Damn. Max Orbison, we find out, is also the club owner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Because one of the days, Dean Bahar, Ben, is leaving, and he runs into the thugs that beat up G-Fresh, and all of a sudden Orbison comes around. They're all just sitting there eating Happy Tarts, and He's like, you guys work for Orbison? He's like, yeah, what's the big deal? And he's like, nothing. But they like, they kind of recognize him, but they're also dumb and they don't give a shit. They're like, this guy looks familiar. And Orbison's like, yeah, he's fucking Chota Boy in the flicks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they put two and two together.
Every interview that Trey Parker's done about this, he's made the same comment in every single one. He's like, so the only reason I made this movie was quite simply because I wanted to see Dean in a dildo head for the entire movie. It was, again, not just a fuck you to the movie industry. He just wanted to torture his friend Dean.
Yeah, of course.
He's just like, yeah, I wanted Dean to wear a dildo on his head for 90 minutes. That's all I wanted to do.
It's very funny. But yeah, because Joe refuses to do the movie and he wants to quit and he wants to move back, Max Orbison kidnaps his fiance.
Kidnap my buttercup.
And so
I'm a pissed off Mormon.
And so so Joe and Ben now have to don or become Orgasmo and Chota Boy and go save his girlfriend.
Yep. First they gotta go to the club.
Yeah.
They gotta get the contract from for G Fresh's place.
Yes.
They show up dressed like complete pricks.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
And they go in. They do some kung fu shit. They dance with some ladies. Yeah. I love when they're walking up and the bouncer's kind of doing a makeshift pat down. And Dean just lifts his arms up and goes, lick my ass.
Yep. And it's so funny because they end up like everybody's waiting for them. Everybody's waiting for them at the mansion.
Because they're basically the threat is that if Joe doesn't do the next Orgasmo sequel, he's going to basically film his girlfriend getting raped.
Yes, that's exactly.
Goons and characters, starting with A-Cup, who,
yeah.
Okay, I have stolen this line on so many occasions on different, like, independent movies or even on the TV show or whatever, and it amazes me how few people have seen this movie, because literally it's just, I think we should start with a shot of my ass. And everyone just looks at me like, I'm the fucking asshole. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, Orgasmo there, guys?
Nope.
Nice big wide shot of my ass.
Yep. And it's so great. The sex kung fu that persists like inside this mansion is absolutely fantastic. We get the payoff to Ben and his long repressed hamster style. Like
he finally does hamster style,
and that's how he beats A Cup, which is so funny. I forget the guy's name, but we also the Latino guy that they brought in,
Sancho. I was wondering if we were going to get there because that was right around where Joe quit, because Sancho was in, I guess, not really an audition but an interview, and his answer for everything, he's like, all right, so what do you do here? What do I do?
I am Sancho.
Right. But what do you do?
What do you do?
Are you Sancho? No, you are not Sancho. I'm Sancho. And Joe walks in and he's doing the back and forth about, I need my money. I don't want to do the sequel. Blah, 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 blah. He goes, get the fuck out of here. I'll see you on set. Muffled. If you listen closely, you can hear Sancho, who's at like Joe's waist because he's sitting in a chair and Joe's standing. He goes, oh my God, it's Orgasmo. And he's like, I'm not Orgasmo. I'm Sancho.
Yeah.
He was so impressed with him. And he's there. So basically they just, it's one of the things I actually was legitimately impressed with was a lot of these actors, Trey Parker especially, and the actual like kung fu shit.
Yeah, the actual fighting was really good.
It's not like, there's like one shots where you can clearly see it's his leg flying through the air. It's not like they do the weird cuts or the clearly stunt double guy or something like that. Because when they do that, that's for joke. But it's like him and Ron Jeremy had a full blown karate fight, and both of them were in pretty wide shot, and they were there doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that they really like. There's some training that goes into that shit. They're not just fucking around for this little comedy. That's some actual like stunt training, which is pretty cool.
It was great. It was so funny because that the climax of this movie is very well done.
Yeah.
Like it pays off literally everything. And at the end of the movie, it's so great because they used the Orgasmorator to shoot Max Orbison so many times that his, what was it? It's his balls like swelled up to the size of like
Florida oranges.
Florida oranges. So they had to amputate him. Yep. And so the movie even sets up its own sequel in a way that was great because now he has to go against Neutered Man.
He has officially become the villain he created. He is Neutered Man.
Which is so, so funny. There's
even stuff like because like you mentioned, Ben created all the little gimmicks and gags for the porno shoots. One of them was the cock rocket, which is basically, puts a dildo on his thing and it shoots and boom, 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 boom. But the explosion wasn't big enough. The effect wasn't big enough. So he gets yelled at and he pays that off. He's like, I fixed the explosion, shoots it into his house. House blows up.
It's also so funny.
And I love that they held on it long enough to show you it's a fucking model.
That was the best part. It's the best part that it show you it's a model, that it's just like so funny. And then
the whole thing at the end, like Dave interacting with Sancho.
Yeah.
Like, he just walks up. He's walking up and he's like, whoa, what happened? Superhero burned down the house. I'm Dave.
Well, it's also really funny because it was he then goes, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but the fire is very hot. And then Dave just looks at him.
Oh, you know they boned.
Oh, they totally boned. And then after...
They're like fuzzy handcuffed together. The ass-fuck twins from Volcano Mountain are there.
Yeah.
So much weirdness. Oh, you know? God. And Ron Jeremy's face like broke with... It was, again, right out of the trauma book. They used like a ceramic head and actually showed it breaking. And then he's fine in the next scene.
Yeah, of course. But then the end, they're all standing around, like, having the funniest goodbye.
Yep.
Bye, man.
Goodbye. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Stuff that's really good.
Stuff that's good.
And it's so funny. And then they ultimately end up deciding that they're going to just be their porn superheroes.
Yeah, they're basically the porn Batman and Robin. And there's a lot of evildoers out there. And we're going to clean up this town. And so they're going to end up staying in L.A. It's Joe.
Girlfriend's totally okay with it.
Totally cool. He gives a thumbs up to the ghost of Jesus over on the sides.
And Buddy Christ happens.
Yep, exactly. And then, they do the little praying bit, which, okay. That was one of the things Trey Parker has even said, because a lot of the questions in some of the interviews obviously was about the NC-17 rating. And... He explained that the process between this movie, which is a very independent movie, versus something like Basketball, which was Universal, or the South Park movie, which was Paramount, he said it's a world of difference. Basically, they slapped Orgasmo with an NC-17 and weren't even going to talk to him. He's like, well, what is it? What, is it this? Is it that? There's really no nudity, but what can I do? And they're like, nah, there's really nothing. And then with the South Park movie, they're like, okay, well, if you trim this, or if you do, like, because there's studio politics involved, the studios famously have to come in with an R rating.
Yeah, famously with Team America, they put back in on the Blu-ray, but the puppet sex scene is bananas.
Yeah, I mean, they shit on each other.
Yeah, like, it's absolutely bananas as to what happens in that puppet sex scene. Yeah. But the whole idea was, is they put that in there so that they would get the NC-17 rating. They would then cut out a ton of it, send it back, and they'd be like, oh, this is much better. Here's the R.
That's the old, that was something that I always remember Keenan Ivory Wayans saying, that he learned from in Living Color and then brought that when he started doing the scary movies. Yep. Where he would go, like, he would deliberately, within Living Color and the Fox censors, he would deliberately go over the line. So when they were like, well, come on, you, he's like, all right, and then he'd almost barter with stuff he was going to cut out anyway. He's like, all right, well, I'll cut this, but you got to let me keep this. And that went on to the scary movies where he's like, he's adding way more shit in that he even doesn't even want, but he's just like, all right, well, I'll take this out, but you got to let me keep this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Which is genius because, if you ever watch this film is not yet rated, they go into how just arbitrary that shit is.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's all politics. It's all bullshit politics. And he's absolutely right, because it's funny, because it's the DVD has the NC-17 version and then the unrated cut, but the unrated cut is actually the edited version.
Right.
Which is very weird. It's like the NC-17 version is the quote unquote director's cut. And then there's this other version that's a little bit shorter and has a couple different like music cues. It's weird. It's one of those weird ones that they felt like, oh, well, let's put everybody's two versions on a DVD. You know, everybody's doing it. Rob Schneider is the animal. Unrated.
Did you ever see the, speaking of the DVD, did you ever find the Easter egg?
I'm sure I have.
There's an Easter egg on there where if you click on it, it's just Matt Stone. And it's him just like eating like peanuts or a Happy Tart or something. And he's just looking at the camera and he goes, found the Easter egg, cheese. Your big cheese.
I want to say I've seen that.
You found the big, good for you. Yeah. Good for you, big cheese.
That's a lost thing. You know, they don't have Easter eggs in DVDs anymore. No. I mean, most people don't even buy DVDs anymore. But but it's like finding those was always fun and different. Yeah. They don't do shit like nobody has fun anymore.
So now that is the movie, and now it's time to talk about the best part of the movie, and that's the theme song.
You're right. Now, I've been toying with this all week when we've been thinking about it, because I use generic music going in and out of our show here, mostly to stay away from YouTube's copyright bullshit.
Right.
I'm throwing caution to the wind. The theme song is incredible.
It is.
I actually have it on my goddamn phone somewhere.
It was on my iPod for forever.
Yeah.
I don't have an iPod anymore, but it was on there forever. It's one of the best pieces of music that they've ever done.
Absolutely.
It's between this and the montage song and America Fuck Yeah. Like, that's like the top three of their like movie songs.
The funny thing is they're really like, especially Trey Parker. I mean, I know they finally did, you know, the Broadway thing.
Musical.
Yeah. But he's really, really good at music. And originally, yeah, there it is. Okay. Hang on. Originally Orgasmo was supposed to be a musical.
Of course.
You know, they were coming off of
Cannibal.
And yeah, see?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Amazing.
Now You're a Man off the Orgasmo soundtrack. But yeah, and it was supposed to be a musical, but they were having such a hard time getting just the concept made. Getting money for the concept of a superhero porno.
Right.
That they're like, all right, well, what if we take out the musical shit?
Yeah. You know what? I just wish that they, now that Book of Mormon's done, you know what I mean? Like, and they can finally focus on like a secondary project. I would love to have them revisit this with just how ingrained in the like zeitgeist superhero stuff is. A reboot, like a la Jay and Silent Bob reboot, would be really fun. Or just a straight up sequel would be really fun to this.
I mean, this is the origin story for their extended universe.
I know.
I don't even know what we call it. What is it? The South Mormon Park extended universe. The SPU? No,
it's
just
the Mormon. It's the Mormon verse, because everybody it has to be involved in the Mormons.
The Mormon extended universe. I like it. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's. That's what I was thinking this whole time I was watching it. I'm like, wow, they like superhero movies are everything now.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you got, you know, between Joker making $1 billion, Endgame making all of the monies. Right. You know, I mean, they're huge right now. And yeah, to not somehow capitalize on that. I mean, you have your goofy superhero property.
Do it. I would also, you know, it's like between that and then you've spent so much time with Coon and Friends on South Park, and also the video game Fractured But Whole. Like, you've spent a lot of time in the superhero stuff. I would love to see you revisit this.
That'd be I agree. I would be all for an Orgasmo sequel or you know, I think they should do a reboot though. Now that I'm thinking about it, like you mentioned the Jay and Silent Bob one. I think they would do something like that where it's just like, fuck reboots. Here's our reboot.
it's literally the same script, just different and better produced.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because even like they did their behind the scenes video, which one of the fun, it's actually called Book of Orgasmo, is the behind the scenes documentary on a DVD. One of the funniest goddamn behind the scenes videos ever.
Yeah.
They wrap it up and Trey Parker's like, yeah, I honestly just can't wait for the special edition DVD to come out so I can add the Jabba the Hutt scene that I've always wanted in there.
Right. Yeah, right.
Because they're just pricks.
It's great. They're the best.
They really are. I would highly, I mean, if you can find the DVD, I know it's not out on Blu-ray or anything, but if you can find the DVD, get it. It's a lot of fun. It's again, they do one of their famous drunken commentaries where the whole group gets together and gets plastered.
And then, like, yes,
wasted. Like this one and the cannibal drunken commentary are reason enough to buy these movies, and you can probably find it on Amazon for like $5.
Right, it's, of course.
Well worth it. Is that Orgasmo?
That's Orgasmo.
That is Orgasmo. I like this one.
That's 2 years, man.
That is a full 2 years. We are on the way to number three. Weird.
Yeah.
What are we going to do next?
We're going to make our own movie.
There you go. Make our own goddamn movie.
It's going to have strippers and blackjack. You know what? Forget the movie.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. Let's just go get the strippers and blackjack.
Strippers and blackjack.
It's like that fucking one of my favorite lines from Bachelor Party when they're at the fancy restaurant planning his bachelor party. He's like, yeah, and there's going to be guns and hookers and fire trucks, everything that makes America worth living.
Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite line from that episode of Futurama where Bender just goes, you know what? I'm gonna make my own dating service. It's gonna be blackjack and casino.
Forget the dating app. I'm just gonna go play blackjack.
God.
Well, actually, coming up next week, if you've been listening to our radio show, first of all, thank you. You can get the audio stream. It's on North Shore 104.9 here in Boston, but you can get the audio stream every Saturday morning at 9:30 right after the show airs. It hits our audio feed, which is why you should subscribe to the audio feed on any podcast app. But you've heard over the last couple weeks that we have been talking a lot about Elizabeth Banks and what she's been saying in the media. First in promoting the release of Charlie's Angels, and then on the defensive after Charlie's Angels bombs at the box office, basically saying us men are too stupid to go see a female-led action movie.
Yes.
I disagree.
I do too.
We have on the radio show mentioned quite a few of the female-led action movies that we enjoy. And it's not about not wanting to go see a female-led action movie. It's about wanting to go see a good
action movie,
female-led action movie. And I would say I would submit to her the original reboot of Charlie's Angels from the year 2000 made almost $300 million at the box office. And I'm guessing some men went to see that.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Some men went to see that in the theaters. I did.
I was just a boy.
Ooh, but it turned you into a man. And that's the movie we're doing next week. 2000 reboot of Charlie's Angels, directed by, McGee.
McGee,
you prick. I just don't like that he calls himself McGee.
Yeah, of course.
Ugh. Joseph McGinty Nickel, a.k.a. McG.
Nerd. Dork.
All right, so that's what we're doing next week. Thank you for joining us here on That Movie Show for Orgasmo. Thank you for the last 2 years making it so much fun to do That Movie Show. Follow myself and Eddie on social media, at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. Let us know what you want us to review. We have our Christmas watch-along coming up. By the way, and this is a personal conversation that you're all about to be involved in.
Oh, very
fun. You know
fun.
That Avengers spoof thing with Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
It's streaming for free on Tubi.
Oh.
T-U-B-I. I actually got a notification that you might want to see this. That algorithm is not correct. but that might be the one we do for Christmas.
Oh, God.
But let us know, and definitely subscribe on the any and all podcasting apps. Follow us on social media, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Thatmovieshow.net is the website where you can find all our reviews and links to the audio feeds, etc., etc. Am I missing anything?
No, I think that's it, man.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week with Charlie's Angels 2000.
Behind the
man, you're a man. Now you're a male.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$2-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.